Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again as we follow the All Over the Map family. So pack up your kids and let's take to the road. As we're not just going on a trip, we're going around the world in search of our forever home. They're looking around right now. It's Michael and Caitlin Domner. Hey, welcome, guys.
Hey, Paul. Good to be here today. Thanks for having us.
Well, thanks for checking in with us along the road here. It's been a wild ride so far, and it sounds like there were some bumps along the way here. Let's talk about today, because it's easy to marvel at the wonders that you see in the world. I get it. You're seeing incredible sights, incredible things that you've never seen before, your kids have never seen before. And that's certainly part of the journey, the awe and wonder. But some of it is learning to work with things that ain't working or that doesn't work the way you want it to work. We've talked about that a little bit. So let's catch up, first of all, where are you at today? And then let's talk about some of the bumps and misadventures in the last week or two getting there. Where are you at today?
Yeah, so today we are in Quito, Ecuador, which is just a beautiful city. We are just over, I think it's 8,500 feet above sea level. So it's significantly cooler here than it has been where we've been for the last couple months in kind of Yucatan and Guatemala. So it's a welcome change in some ways. And then we realized, oh, we have to get the sweaters out for the kids and little things like that. So Quito, today's only our second day here, so we're still kind of getting into it a little bit and doing some exploring. We're staying close to Old Town, which is kind of our we generally like to stay in kind of the closer to the historical center, so we can see everything and be able to walk through it. So yeah, that's where we're at today.
All right, and getting there, we were trying to get you on the air this morning, and you said, "Well, let's see. My one phone got stolen. My other phone got broken." Let's talk about just communication bumps along the way. What's it like when your phone is stolen or broken?
It's been a little bit of a challenge. Yeah. So my phone was stolen. It's been a little while now, but almost 10 days ago or so. And I was like, oh, no problem.
We went to Chichicastenango. So when we were back in Antigua, we went to this little mountain village called Chichicastenango. And we had been supporting a school there and wanted to visit in person. And so connected with our friend Pedro and got to experience Guatemalan life in a very real way. He brought us back to his house, which wasn't exactly enclosed, but his wife made us authentic frijoles.
We actually learned how to make tortillas by hand with masa. She taught us right there, like right in front of the little
fried it on the griddle
that she uses.
And then everything is washed outside, so their sink is outdoors, which evidently that's pretty common in Guatemala. And they just collect the rainwater off the tin roof, and it all drains into the sink, and that's where they
use to wash dishes or clothes or anything else. Yeah, it was definitely a cultural experience. The rest of Guatemala that we had kind of seen the vacation locate, even where Guatemalans go to vacation, right? Like Flores and Tikal and those kinds of things. But in Chichicastenango, we got to see how the Guatemalans live. Mm-hmm. And they have three small children. Well, I guess 5, 9, and 12 were their kids. So the kids got to play with some other children that spoke English, and they really got to see them in their home. The boys were like, they don't have video games here. Like, the boys were just shocked. Yeah, and but they got to like scramble over the mountains and play with chickens and it was still a lot of fun. It was just very different from what we're used to in the West.
Yeah. And so one of the big attractions in Chichicastenango is this Sunday market where they have people that come from out of the hills. So this one is out in the mountains, but the tribes people leave even further tucked into the nooks and crannies, and all of them flow into the city center on Sundays to sell their handicrafts and their goods. And it is massive. They shut down pretty much the whole center of the city to just foot traffic, and there's stalls on every single road. And Pedro was guiding us through the the thing, and I'm holding the kids and I'm seeing his head in front of us. I'm like, just elbow and push your way through, guys. We got to make it.
Literally just like people crushing you in on all sides.
Yeah. I felt like a salmon going upstream in a sea of people.
Yeah.
And, right. And just, I'm focused on the kids, right? Don't lose the children. We've got three little blonde haired babies, and my uncle's head voice is telling me about children getting stolen. I'm like, okay, yeah. Hold on to the kids.
Yeah. Right.
And then we get out and Michael's like, my phone just got stolen. I was like, say what now? And
yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like we were walking through and we just come through like a particularly tight knot of people. And I I had been videoing. So I was holding it up kind of above my phone up above my head.
So he's this 6'2" white giant among the Mayan people who maybe top like 5'5"
right.
On a good day.
Yeah. Right.
I basically am about a foot taller than everybody else in the crowd. Yeah. But so I'm holding my phone up above my head, videoing just kind of this experience of walking through this crush of people through the market, all the sights and colors and everything else. It's beautiful. And I put my phone back in my pocket. And just as we come to this big intersection, and I have Jackson by the hand, and I literally he's in front of me and I'm holding him by the shoulders, and I like push him through this particularly tight knot so that Caitlin can grab him on the other side, I'm hoping, because it was literally like, it really was like being a salmon swimming upstream in a river of people. But and I felt something kind of like touched my front pocket, and it was in my front pocket too. It was kind of crazy. And I like felt down, and sure enough, my phone was gone. And it had been maybe 3 seconds since I had felt something touch my pocket. And I look up and I just see, like, I don't even know if it was the person or not, but I see this little dark haired person like worming their way the opposite direction with the flow of people. So they had, so they were probably already 15 or 20 feet away from me. And I like yelled once, like, hey, no, nobody paid any attention to me.
Yeah.
Nobody
looked at me. Hey doesn't work real good in the middle of a crowd of people.
Exactly.
Hey.
So you'll have to forgive me for this, but I was like, I could literally just push my way through. Like, I'd be like bowling pins, just running after this guy that just stole my phone.
Right.
And I was like, no, that's probably not the best idea. You know, white American giant, like storming through this whole.
And what would you do when you got him? Are you going to just grab him?
What am I going to do? So basically, in my head, just at that moment, I just wrote it off. You know what? Like, hey, stuff happens. Nothing I can do about it. So then I go and catch up with Caitlin and Pedro and the kids. And sure enough, Pedro's like, oh my goodness, like that's never happened to me here. And he's just like, I'm so sorry. He's like, let's find the police. And I'm like, the police aren't going to be able to do anything. There's like 1,000 people here. They're not going to shut down the streets looking for my phone.
They should.
So I'm kind of like, whatever. I decided to try to look it up on the find my phone, but it was on airplane mode. So basically, my phone and everything on it was gone. Luckily, we had purchased a Guatemalan phone so that we would have something with local internet the week before. So I had kind of a stopgap in between, but everybody that I was texting, my WhatsApp, all of my connections to the US were exclusively through that phone. So I had to kind of just think back through the process, like, how can I get reconnected with everybody? When we went to Chichicastenango, we left our laptops in Antigua because it was like a 3-hour drive. And we were like, well, we don't need everything. So I didn't get to reconnect with everything until 2 days later when we went back to Antigua.
But, and the biggest loss was that Michael had been taking video and photos
for the
last like 2 or 3 weeks. And we hadn't made time to upload them onto the internet. So we lost a lot of video footage and photos.
That's hard.
From Belize down to Guatemala is kind of a big gap.
It's a black hole now.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you're traveling? I mean, that's kind of just every American outside of the country. We're afraid of losing our stuff. We're not just, we're certainly afraid of losing our passport that can strand you someplace here, or your documents. We're certainly afraid of losing money. Do you carry, I don't know, traveler's checks or what? How do you carry cash? What do you do for money or credit cards and stuff here?
No. So I was like, what can they do with a passport? But they can sell passports in Guatemala where people maybe live on $100 a month. They can sell a passport for $1,000 if they steal your passport. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So let's talk. You got kind of the big three. You got your passport. You can't lose that. You got your credit cards, because that's probably how you're paying for a lot of stuff here, the plastic. and maybe cash. I don't know how much cash do you carry with you in any given moment?
It really depends. Here, so in Guatemala, a lot of Guatemala, once we were out of the main cities, they don't take cards, tarjetas. It's cash only. So there were times, you know, that I'm walking around, and they would only let you take out like 2,000 quetzals at a time. So it was like this constant thing, like, okay, if we have to go pay, and a quetzal, 7 quetzals is $1. Yeah. So 2,000 quetzals is only like $300 US.
Right.
But you know, if we're going to pay for a tour or pay for a hotel and we had to pay cash and it's a couple $100, like I'd have to, like the day or two before, I would have to start going to cajeros and taking out 2,000 quetzals a day to pay for things that we have to pay for cash. It was kind of crazy.
I think it's funny. They call cash efectivo. Like, this is the effective form of payment. Is efectivo. Like, donde cajero por efectivo.
We want something effective here, not this phony stuff.
Right. Not this plastic stuff.
So I got to tell you.
We learned that on one hand with the cash, a couple different times we've broken it up, right? So I'll have a couple thousand quetzals in my wallet. Caitlin will have a couple thousand quetzals in her zippered pocket. And then we'll put a couple thousand in the backpack, like just to kind of spread it out. So if I lose my wallet, you know, if somebody comes up and steals my wallet or something like that, we're not completely out. So little things like that. Each have our own cell phone, so we kind of split that up a little bit. The credit cards, that's an excellent point. I should probably start putting some of the credit cards in, like our luggage that we leave in the hotel room or something like that, just so that way if my wallet goes, we're not completely out. I think right now I actually have Caitlin's in my wallet too.
Yeah, he has all of our cards in a single location.
I'm realizing she doesn't carry her wallet.
This is a gap. This is a security measure.
We found a security gap. We've hacked into a security gap here. Well, I got to tell you, let me just give you, again, I haven't traveled that much outside of the United States. In the United States, yes. Outside, no. And I think you've already gone beyond my boundaries. I went to Belize. That's about as far as I went on your adventure here. And I went to Ireland once. And in both times, I was struck by this same question. What do I do with the cash? And one time, I thought, I'll be really smart. I'll put the cash in. We went, stayed in some little hotel someplace. And they said, well, we'll lock up your wallet for your cash. I said, perfect. When I leave there, I'll take a little bit, and rather than just leave it in the room and hide it in my shoe, I'll put it in their safe. That was the dumbest thing I ever did, because when actually safe in the room. And so when I opened the safe, everything was gone. Somebody knew how to steal the safe. And I went to them and screamed, and they went, oh, sorry, you know, that's just the way it goes. And I'm like, you tricked me into putting it into the safe because you knew how to get into the safe and where the safe
was. They're like, of course, yeah, put all your valuables in the safe. That's exactly where we want it to be.
Yeah, so we can find it, so we can get in and get out quickly here. Don't hide it in your sock or your shoe. That was one thing.
It makes it a lot harder for us to find it.
Yeah.
I had some cash under one of the Gideon's Bibles in the drawer. That way, you know, at least they'll feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, what a fool. I listened to them. You know, they urged me to put it in the safe, and that it was safe for them, not for me. And then the other thing that struck me was the very first time, that was many years ago, I drove across the border into Mexico. And I go stay down at some little hotel in like Ensenada or something, a couple hours south of the border here. And I had carefully taken like $100 US cash. I thought, that's plenty just for buying little things. I'm only going to be there a couple of days, and I'll pay for everything else with the credit card, gas, hotels, except they didn't take credit cards. I didn't know. So I used all my money the first day, and we literally had to turn around and drive home because I had no more money, like $20. And nobody would take a credit card. And it never occurred to me. So are you in a world where they do take credit cards up in Guatemala?
I think, I don't know when time frame wise, I would say in the last 5 years or so, they've definitely, maybe even 10 years, they've really upgraded a lot of technology here. So I would say probably 60% of places, a lot of even little like tiendas, little stores that people have in their garage, accept cards.
And they now have those little like square devices that you can plug into the cell phone.
Yeah, so they plug them into their cell phone, swipe your card. Sometimes there's a little bit of, kind of on my end, a little bit of worry or hesitation about security when they're putting it into their personal phone. But but at the same time, I mean, I know that on my end, I've got pretty good fraud prevention, right? So if I see crazy charges on there, I call my bank or my credit card company right away. They lock it down, which unfortunately, I don't know how I would get a new card at this point.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I feel pretty secure against fraud.
Right. So, all right. So we're talking, let's just spend a moment on this because this is one of the fundamental things that Americans need money. You know, you're mm-hmm. you're traveling, you need cash, you need a credit, you need all these things here. So not only how do you store them and disperse them and how much do you carry with them, but how would you replace some of this stuff? Your passport, I guess you have to go to the local consulate and sit there for a while. But a credit card or even a phone, you can't just go down and get another one.
The phone is kind of a crazy thing, right? So in the U.S., I have the Asurion insurance for my phone. So no problem. I call Asurion, literally like delivers it next day to my house. You've got your phone replaced. No big deal. They don't deliver to Guatemala, in case you were wondering. so I had it delivered to my parents' house. I was like, no problem. I'll just I'll send it to my parents' house. Let them send it directly to me. We'll be in Quito for about 2 weeks. So I'll have them send it to the hotel in Quito. Everything will be great. They go in to send it, and at FedEx and DHL, but like both of the international shipping companies that send stuff down here to this part of the world.
Right.
It was over $225 at either one of them to ship a small phone box. Like we're not talking like a huge 50-pound box. This is a little tiny phone box. It's $225, $250 to send it. And so
we're like, fine, it's worth it.
Whatever.
It's worth it. I need my phone.
And they go to process the transaction and they're like, oh, we can't send phones to Ecuador. Ecuador doesn't allow us to send a phone via the mail. And I'm like, what? Like, this makes no sense. So for some reason, if you're ever in Ecuador, you can't ship phones to yourself down here.
Can't ship phones. That makes so much sense.
I literally am not going to get my replacement phone for I don't know how long because we have to wait till we go to another country.
It's going to ship it to Antarctica and it'll be there waiting for you here.
We might have our cruise line pick it up for us on our way down.
So as much as we want to be fancy free, you talked about shedding stuff. I don't need this anymore. I don't need that anymore. You need your passport. You need a credit card if you're traveling, and you probably need a phone, particularly because I hear more and more. We've had people on different shows talk about how the economy in the rest of the world, what we call the third world, has been transformed by cell phones, that even in the smallest villages in Africa, they got cell phones. That's how they're not only accessing the internet, because they're incredibly cheap to get these things. They're almost giving them away. Like in India, I think they literally give them away to get you to get on. That's how they do transactions. That because there's no banks, there's no commerce system. It is their new currency. It is the new way that they transact with each other and send money to each other and pay each other and everything here. On these little, so you're in the middle of Guatemala and they're using Square, that little thing that plugs into your cell phone, and that's how they're transacting everything, and it's transformed these.
And a lot of them too. If we don't have cash, for example, we had a boat. One of the boat drivers, when we took a little tour, they were like, "Oh, you can send me cash." We didn't have cash for a tip because I had run out of cash. And the guy's like, "Oh, you can send it to me via Cash App or PayPal." So they accept tips or Venmo.
Venmo, I was going to say,
different things as well. Yeah. So I mean, they've really realize, like, I've got to get rid of any barrier to somebody giving me cash. And, and it makes it makes it a lot easier to do business.
And I think that's been the difference. When I traveled, it was 100 million years ago. None of this stuff existed. And now that the world, I'm told, is in fact, this is a sad statistic, but I think it's true. Somebody's quoted on one of our shows that more people have access to cell phones than clean water around the world.
That's
not
surprise me.
Okay, so
companies can make money from them having a cell phone.
nobody
makes money from clean water.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. All right, so you've had some misadventures there. You got your pocket picked. You had another phone break when your kids broke the other phone here. So the screen doesn't work, but the service works. That's what we're talking on here.
The kids were using, the kids were actually using the phone as for Google Translate, because they were playing with a couple kids in Lake Atitlan. And so Caitlin and I were going for a walk to go find a couple boxes to ship stuff home in. And we left them with that. We said, okay, you have the phone, so you can use it for Google Translate, so they could talk to the other kids.
Right.
And when we got back, it had a cracked screen. So yeah, it's probably the last time they'll get to use it for Google
Translate. Ever.
But technology is incredible too. I mean, just the fact that they can communicate with these kids in the middle of Lake Atitlan by they talk into the phone, it speaks it in Spanish. The Spanish, you know, speaking kids from Lake Atitlan talk directly into the phone, and it spits it out in English verbally. Like, they can hear it. It's just amazing. It's crazy.
It's kind of like Star Trek and the translators they would hold up to each other.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, what's amazing to me is, as we come to the end of this little misadventure thing here, is that nothing seems to depress or dampen. So far, you haven't said, you know what, I can't put up with one more thing going wrong. The plane not arriving, they can't ship a phone here, for Pete's sake. What kind of place is this? I'm going home.
You know, I feel like we have a pretty solid foundation, philosophically amongst ourselves here, things are going to happen, and we choose our reaction to every piece of life, right?
Yeah. So
we could be happy or sad in Apple Valley, California.
Yeah.
We could be happy or sad in Lake Atitlan, which is arguably one of the most beautiful places in the world. I think that just the power that we know that we make that decision, no matter what it is, I think is critical for maintaining a positive attitude and just being able to do things that some people may say, that doesn't even sound like it's possible to do, right? Because we know that we have the power, we control our reaction to what's going on around us.
Michael and I were talking last night as we were eating empanadas here in Quito, that we went out thinking that the world looked the way Instagram makes it look, right? We're going searching for our forever home in all of these bucket list locations. And we grow up, we're fed this steady diet of picture perfect locations.
Absolutely.
And especially like National Geographic, you'll see these glorious scenes of like a snow leopard in the mountains. And you see this one shot that was taken at a perfect moment with perfect lighting and a perfect lens, and they have filters and they make it look like $1 million. And you don't realize that guy was tramping around in the snow with 100 pounds of equipment, sleeping on dirt floors.
With no toilet, after losing his phone, after being pickpocketed.
And so I think it's a great reminder that all of life has filters, right? So in the same way that we on Instagram, we can choose to put a filter on it and it makes it look beautiful. You could equally put a filter on it and say, no, everything sucks. The world is not worth visiting. Nobody understands what I'm saying. Like,
there's people that travel and have that experience. Like, I think I've talked to a couple of them. They're like, oh my gosh, so you guys are going to travel? Like, I hate travel. I went here one time and it was terrible. And that's their view of it.
Right.
My trip to Hawaii was like, I've only been to Hawaii once, the paradise everybody in California loves and goes to repeatedly. I go once, I get sick, I lose things. The weather sucks. It rains. I can't find something. Everything's incredibly expensive. A bowl of Cheerios is $20 or something here. You know, and I came home the same thing. I said, never again. I'm never going to Hawaii again. And the paradise, yeah, the picture was great when I finally got there. But all the other stuff, the price and the problems and everything I went through, just forever tainted that image in my head here.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of the nature of life, especially with social media these days. A lot of people claim greater levels of depression since when they spend time on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, right. And as I tell my kids, right, you are comparing the worst of your 5%, like the cruddiest part of your day that went wrong, with the best 5% that somebody took a picture of and made look
not just somebody, but everybody. You're looking at everybody's top 5% on Facebook or Instagram.
They're all like,
my life must suck.
They're all celebrating their new love and their big adventure and their great job promotion. Like, you only put the good stuff on Facebook because you want likes and shares. You don't put the Yeah, today was stolen. Horrible. Yeah.
My roof is leaking because it's raining.
Yeah,
right. You don't get those stories on Instagram.
Well, you get them here on the OC Talk Radio because we made you bring one out here today. I know that that's not really the focus of what everybody wants to hear. They want to hear the travelogue. They want to hear the mommy tips. They want to hear the amazing moments. But I think along the way, this isn't just a trip. This is your life. And life is filled with ups and downs. And I think you've nailed it right there. It's the Stoic philosophy. As Marcus Aurelius famously said, the Stoic philosopher, the Roman emperor, said something like, you can't change what happens to you. You can only change how you react to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
And that's what you're doing. You're rolling with the punches. I think that's the secret to this whole journey here and the success, whether you're getting on a plane and going 2 hours or 200,000 miles around the world here, or however far it is. I think that's the key here. All right, so where do you head next? You're off to probably one of the greatest bucket list places I know of.
Yeah.
Where are you going next?
We're super excited. So tomorrow, or actually Friday, we're flying to the Galapagos Islands, and we're staying in Airbnbs there. So we're going to be in houses, but we're staying on two different islands for 4 days each. And we've got a couple of tours booked, and the things that I've seen from the Galapagos Islands just look amazing. Right. Of course, they're the Instagram photos. So we'll see when we get there.
The giant tortoise and everything else.
Right. It just looks amazing. The animals aren't scared of people. Yeah. You can swim with sea lions. It just looks incredible. So we'll be reporting from there next time we chat.
And we're not sure whether you're going to be able to report in next week. Is that true or not here? We're not even sure if they have internet there, but we think so.
We think they do. The biggest question is just how fast it is. And whether or not we'll have a good enough connection to chat, but we're hoping to. And the Airbnb says they have Wi-Fi, but as we've learned in other parts of the world, that doesn't always mean the same thing that we're used to in the U.S. So
the hotel I stayed in said, "Please put your goods in our safe here." You know, so what they promise is not always what they deliver here. Well, thanks for letting us ride along, and thanks for sharing the real bumps along the way here, because it isn't the yellow brick road. You don't just dance off into this beautiful world here. You do have to adapt, and you do have to learn how to handle and navigate the bumps and pits. And we'll learn. Maybe you've come up with some tips for us. Maybe through your adventure or misadventures, we'll learn how to not make some of those missteps. Or maybe they're just inevitable. I don't know. But we'll find out. Thanks for riding along with us today, everybody, here on this edition of the All Over the Map family. As they pack up their kids, take to the road, and travel the world in search of their forever home.